Today's episode is sponsored by Rev, the productivity powerhouse for content creators, journalists, market researchers, and more. Capture audio from anywhere, get AI-powered summaries and quotes, and leave security worries behind with Rev. Whether you're on the go or in the office, Rev's got you covered. Discover more at rev.com. Hi, I'm Kendall Kelton, and I'm your host today on The Rough Draft. Featuring honest conversations with folks from across the creative industry, The Rough Draft explores the creative process, tools, and resources used by some of the best in the business. From journalists to content creators and business leaders, we shed light on what it looks like to break into the industry, make mistakes, collaborate with others, and the essential tools that help us all along the way. This week, I'm super excited to be talking with Nadia Hamdan, a producer for the Emmy and Murrow Award-winning investigative reporting podcast and public radio show, Reveal. Nadia has worked on a range of investigative stories about the post-Roe healthcare crisis, the impacts of U.S. gun laws, and that modern-day debate around reparations. Hi. Thank you for joining today. I'm really excited about this because you and what you're doing now, I just find so completely fascinating, especially given where the world is. So before we kind of dive into things, I want to start with the basics. Reveal. So Reveal is known for its deep dive investigative reporting. And for those who might not be as familiar with it, how would you describe the show, what it's about, and the type of stories you focus on?
I mean, it really runs the gamut. Reveal, I think, is pretty unique in the sense that it's going to give you a deep dive into just a variety of topics, and it does so every week. And the way that we're able to do this is that, you know, we are able to cover things like abortion, gun laws, voter fraud, any big name issue, Reveal is looking at it. And the way we're able to do this is, you know, we have our in-house team of reporters and producers who put out incredible stuff. But what I love about Reveal and what I think is really unique about this shop is that we partner with investigative journalists everywhere from different outlets across the world. So if people have stories that they want to tell through this medium, and maybe they're a print reporter for the AP or they work at the Texas Tribune, you can reach out to Reveal, and we have like really strong partnerships with people already. Or if your pitch is just fabulous, like we will work with you and we will take that story and turn it into an incredible hour of audio.
To that end, producing a weekly investigative show is like, I have to imagine, is a marathon and not a sprint. What is it like to keep up with that pace, though, week after week?
The way that it works is we are investigative, so we do have time, right? Like, this is kind of part of the reason I moved to Reveal from a local daily, because, you know, I wanted to sit with a story longer. And when you work at a local daily, like prior to Reveal, I worked at KUT in Austin. You know, it was just like a quick daily turnaround or turning a feature around in a week, you know, and I love that. And there's something really special about that. And it's a great skill to have. But I wanted to just like sit in a story longer. And the nice thing about Reveal is they do give you a decent amount of time to really tell a story. You know, we do have quick turnarounds from time to time, but usually we sit on a story for a few months at a time. You know, one of the longest stories I worked on took 2 years. So there is this understanding that like a good story, at least, you know, certain hour long shows are going to take time and they carve out that time. But otherwise, yeah, sometimes you're turning around a segment, you know, 8 to 10 minutes within a month or two. And I think for anyone who has done any sort of production work, like anytime you get close to deadlines, it doesn't matter if you're a daily, a monthly, a yearly, like it just feels like you have no head and you're trying to make things work. but it's still great because I love that I just get to like sit in a story for a while and think about it. And I feel like that's where a lot of nuance comes in.
Reveal, let's kind of talk about that a bit more. When you're brought onto a story,
or maybe you pitch a story idea. How does that process begin, especially on the investigative lens? Because as you said, it takes time. It can take months. It can take years. So how do y'all kick things off?
To be honest, it's like we're always trying to figure out what's the most efficient way to do this. It's like an ongoing conversation in our newsroom. But, you know, a lot of it is you can, you know, if you have a story, you pitch it and, you know, you write up your pitch as best you can. You propose it in front of a team and, you know, the editors kind of go off and come back and say yay or nay, you know, and then other times I'm assigned stories. A lot of the time I am, because as I said, you know, we, as a producer, a big part of my job is taking those stories that come from outside outlets and turning it into a really, you know, strong piece of radio.
And so you kind of hinted at this. Sometimes you're reporting, sometimes you're producing, sometimes you're doing both. Do you have a preference personally, or has that kind of shifted as you've moved along in your career?
I would like to report more. You know, I feel like part of the, as much as I, and like, don't get me wrong, I really love taking a really great story from a print reporter and turning it into something really special. Like there is a really, I do enjoy that process. But the struggle for me is that sometimes, like, I am an audio producer and reporter, so I know how to do this job for this medium. Yeah. And sometimes I'm expending so much energy trying to teach someone who's a print reporter and that's not their job to, like, be this version of themselves. And it can take a lot, and sometimes you don't always succeed. And that part can become a little difficult when you're like, I would like to produce and report my own because I know I can make it sound exactly as I'm envisioning it to sound and not have to like coach someone to be like, no, the inflection in your voice just sound a little less stiff. You know what I mean? And you have to like sit there and do this work. And I do love when you see someone who's like, oh, that was such an incredible experience. Like I learned so much, and you're like, and we were able to make something great. But you know, sometimes you're like, it'd be nice to just have my hands on this thing from beginning to end.
We're going to talk a little bit more about creative process a little bit later, but in those first few weeks, especially if you're wearing your producer hat on, how do you dive into that kind of mindset as you're in the field reporting, or like how do you kind of stay aware of all of those opportunities at the same time?
How do I get to the real meat of what this person I'm interviewing is saying? How do I describe the person I'm looking at so that the person who's listening can get a sense? Does she have a bold red lip? Does he have some, you know, is he bald? You know, does he wear glasses? Is he clean cut or is he a little schleppy? You know what I mean? Like you're kind of trying to give someone an idea of a person because they're just listening, but like you can hear their voice. So you're still getting this intimate sense of a person and maybe a space. But as a producer, the more intimacy you can bring into it, the better I feel. And so that just means getting better and better at just really paying attention to really little things and like capturing it all and then having way too much tape to work with and cutting it down until you find something that works.
Generally speaking, I wanted to ask, this industry is tough. It's tough. Mm. What challenges are you kind of facing right now? I think a lot of people have this kind of glamorous view of especially podcasts of what it might be like to be in it. And sometimes they have a very kind of glamorous view of the life of an investigative reporter.
It is funny because I'll tell someone, you know, they're like, what do you do? And I'll be like, I'm a podcast producer. And like, oh my God, cool. You know, so there is this sense of like, it's kind of like one of those industries that people are like, that's kind of dope, you know? But I also think like the market is so saturated. Like there's so many podcasts out there and it is kind of overwhelming sometimes. And you're really competing for people's attention, which I think is part of a frustration we have because, you know, what Reveal does, there is no doubt for anyone who really follows it. Like, I admire the work that we do so much and I know the value of it. But let's be honest, most people don't want to hear a whole hour on why the world is on fire every week. They already know it's on fire. So I do think like we tend to be a little doom and gloom. And I think that's part of, you know, I can see how that makes it a struggle in this, you know, attention economy where people are like, yeah. but you can listen to a whole podcast about people gossiping about stuff. I'm like, yeah, I'd totally yeah. rather listen to that sometimes. Everything's changing because of the internet. Everything's changing because of the way that we just like consume things. And that's really affected our industry. I mean, I've survived 3 rounds of layoffs. We had to do a merger with Mother Jones because we were really yeah. struggling as an organization, and merging was a way to save us. So it's like behind the scenes, these are all happening as we're trying to put out these stories and still keep them, you know, to the highest caliber. But you're also just like sometimes in a fetal position in the corner being like, will I have a job tomorrow?
Nadia, before we move on, I actually think that's a beautiful transition because I want to read something that you wrote ahead of this episode that you shared with our team when talking about audio journalism in particular. I just thought it was a beautiful articulation of what you're doing. You said you're not just reporting, you're trying to immerse someone in the story. It's by far the most intimate form of journalism that exists, in my view. So while print and video can tell beautiful stories, I look at audio as the porridge that's just right. It's one thing to read someone's words, but to hear them say it with their own voice, with its own accent, cadence, and emotion, you connect so much more. I thought that was very powerful.
Thank you. Thank you. I truly believe that. I really believe that. I'm so grateful that I found this medium and I found this work. It's like, I really do enjoy it every day, even on the worst days.
Well, that's it for today's episode of The Rough Draft. Be sure to rate and subscribe in order to stay up to date with the latest episodes, and visit rev.com/podcasts for even more content. Thank you for listening, and we look forward to seeing you again on the next episode of The Rough Draft.